ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 5, Text 5.
Parabhava tavat abodhajata yavat na kigyasate atmatatvam yavat kriya tavat idam mana vai karma atmakam yena sharira bandha parabhavastavara bodha jato yavanna gigyasata atmatadvam yavat kriyastavadidam manovai kamatmakam yena sharira bandha parabhavastavara bodha jato yavanna gigyasata atmatadvam yavat kriyastavadidam manovai karmatmakam yena sharira bandha parabhavastavara bodha jato yavanna gigyasata atmatadvam yavat kriyastavadidam manovai karmatmakam yena sharira bandha.
Please chant. What was that? Tava, yeah, thank you. Ladies, please.
Parabhavastavara bodha jato.
Parabhava, defeat misery. Tavat, so long. Abodha jata, produced from ignorance. Yavat, as long as. Na, not. Jigyasate, inquires about. Atma tattvam, the truth of the self. Yavat, as long as. Kriya, fruitive activities. Tavat, so long. Idam, this. Mana, mind. Vai, indeed. Karma atmakam, absorbed in material activities. Yena, by which. Sharira bandha, bondage in this material body. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Translation. As long as one does not inquire about the spiritual values of life, one is defeated and subjected to miseries arising from ignorance. Be it sinful or pious, karma has its resultant actions. If a person is engaged in any kind of karma, his mind is called karmatmaka, colored with fruitive activity. As long as the mind is impure, consciousness is unclear. And as long as one is absorbed in fruitive activity, he has to accept what? Yes, a material body. Purport. Generally, people think that one should act very piously in order to be relieved from misery. But this is not a fact. Even though one engages in pious activity and speculation, he is nonetheless defeated. His only aim should be emancipation from the clutches of Maya, the illusory energy, and all material activities. Speculative knowledge and pious activity do not solve the problems of material life. One should be inquisitive to understand his spiritual position. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 4:37, Yathaidam si samido gir basmasat kurute urjana Jnana ni sarva karmani basmasat kurute tata. Which means, as a blazing fire turns firewood to ashes, O Arjuna, so does the fire of knowledge burn to ashes all reactions to material activities. Unquote. Unless one understands the self and its activities, one has to be considered in material bondage. In Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.32, it is also said, Ye nye ravindaksha vimukta maninastvaya astababad avishuddha buddhaya. A person who doesn't have knowledge of devotional service may think himself liberated, but actually he is not. Aruya krichrena paramparam patata patantyado nadrata yasmud angraya. Such people may approach the impersonal Brahman effulgence, but they fall down again into material enjoyment because they have no knowledge of what? Yes, of devotional service. As long as one is interested in karma and jnana, he continues enduring the miseries of material life. birth, old age, disease, and death. Karmis certainly take on one body after another. As far as jnanis are concerned, unless they are promoted to the topmost understanding, which is what? What is the topmost understanding? Huh? Yes, devotional service, which leads to Krishna consciousness. Yes. So that is the topmost understanding. The jnani, he spurns devotional service. He simply wants to sit, close his eyes, meditate, and try to merge into the infinite absolute effulgence. That is his goal. Because everything in this world, as far as he is concerned, is illusion. Including, to him, Krishna's body, which is the most offensive mentality one can ever have. So he gets another chance, and as Prabhupada just mentions, he falls down again to this material world to again try to come up. As explained in Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam Janmanam Ante Yanavan Mam Prabhadyate. The point is to know Krishna. Vasudeva, as everything in... The point is to know Krishna, Vasudeva, as everything, and surrender unto him. Karmis do not know this, but a devotee who is 100% engaged in the devotional service of the Lord knows fully what is karma and jnana. Therefore, a pure devotee is no longer interested in karma and jnana. Anyabilasita shunyam jnana karma jnanarvatam. Karma, in this sense, means one who is striving to achieve fruitive results. Pleasure. A fruitive result is a fruit which gives pleasure for one's own self. And a jnani is striving to merge into the impersonal Brahman and achieve oneness with the absolute light, or the effulgence of the bodily rays of Krishna. That is his goal. Yesterday, it was mentioned karma means prescribed duties. And for a karma yogi, that is exactly what it is. Duties which are prescribed in the scriptures. But for a karmi, he simply wants to do actions to gain some fruitive result. A pleasure. Anyabilasita shunyam jnana karmajana vritam. The real bhakta is untouched by any tinge of karma and jnana. His only purpose in life is to serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with what? With love, yes. Not just service. We can get monkeys to do devotional service, but they're not thinking of loving the Lord. They're doing service so that they're waiting for their master to give them the next banana. That is their understanding. So I'd like to just, this has many, this particular verse and the purport has many facets. And I would like to focus on one of them from the translation. As long as the mind is impure, consciousness is unclear. And as long as one is absorbed in fruitive activity, he has to accept a material body. So the problem starts from the desire of every living entity in this world to want to enjoy. He wants pleasure. He wants happiness. And this is normal, because it is the nature of the soul to always be blissful, to always be happy, to always be satisfied. Unfortunately, the living entity or the soul has fallen from his original position as a Krishna conscious living entity. And in falling from the spiritual platform to the material platform, he is given a material body, and there are five kinds of ignorance, as Lord Kapila mentions, five kinds of ignorance that surround the soul, and which give him a different understanding, a different attitude, and a different vision that he originally had in the spiritual world. So those five kinds of ignorance. The first is that when he accepts a material body, is that he has to forget
He forgets that he is a living entity. He forgets that he is an eternal being. He forgets that he has a relationship with Krishna. This is his forgetfulness. He has to, because he has come to this world in order to assume a position very much like God. He wants to be the enjoyer. He wants to be he wants to have lots and lots of knowledge. And he wants to be the friend of all. He wants to be, in effect, a lord. He wants everyone to look up to him, glorify him, adore him, bow down to him. This is why he's in this world. He wants to taste what lordship is like. In the spiritual world, everyone glorifies Krishna. Everyone adores Krishna. Everyone serves Krishna. What does it taste like? What does it feel like? This is a perverted reflection of Krishna's original curiosity. When Krishna becomes curious, he wonders, what is Srimati Radharani? What is she tasting when she loves me? What is her bliss like? What is her love like? This is what Krishna, this is his curiosity. And of course we know that he descends to this material world in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is a mixture of Radha Krishna. And he assumes the mentality, he assumes the attitude of a loving devotee such as Srimati Radharani. So for the curiosity that we manifest, which is tinged with envy, is counterproductive, does not help us. So, the first, forgetfulness of who we really are. The next is to think that we are our material bodies. That's another kind of ignorance. I am this body, this is me. And whatever thoughts come from the actions of this body, that's me. Thinking I do, or whatever puzzle solving I do, that is whatever. I forgot the thought I was going to bring out now. Whatever puzzle solving I do, that is also the same. So what happens is that the living entity has entered this world, and two forms of ignorance. He thinks he is the body, he is forgotten, he is the soul. And the third is that he believes that enjoyment of the five senses, the mind and the intelligence, that is the sine qua non, that is the indispensable or the necessity for happy living. This is an illusion. This is, I should say, it's ignorance. He thinks that, yes, if I can enjoy my eyes through my tongue, my nose, my skin, if I can enjoy through those means, if I can enjoy through my mind, there are physical enjoyment, mental enjoyment, and intellectual enjoyment. And physical enjoyment, one, as I just said, enjoys through his five senses. And in mental enjoyment, he may enjoy winning something. He gets the pleasure out of being a victor, of being important. Or he gets the pleasure of imagining things, the pleasure of creating things. This is all mental enjoyment. Or intellectual enjoyment, solving, as I said, riddles, solving puzzles, inventing things, using the intelligence to put things together in such a way that one may do something which is either beneficial or harmful to humanity. But the pleasure of somehow reasoning something out is another kind of pleasure. These are all material pleasures. Now, it doesn't mean that the senses and the mind and the intelligence cannot be used for a good and useful purposes. They can, but generally, persons are using or misusing them for worthless purposes, which will only, as Srila Prabhupada mentions, keep them circling in the round of birth, death, and rebirth due to the material pleasure that they give. So I've already said there are three kinds of ignorance. A fourth is to be angry when one is frustrated. That's another. Because if you're angry when you're frustrated out of not getting your material desires fulfilled, the result is that you reinforce the idea that desire is useful. As long as I, for example, I want to get some halva, every day I go there and I get a handful of halva, now it's not there, I get angry, Rabindranath is, he's deserted me, where is he, where's that halva? You see, you get used to it. So, therefore, yes, the prasadam is nice, but I'm not getting angry over the prasadam, it's the tingling on my tongue that I'm upset about, I'm not going to get the tingling. God help Rabindranath.
Hope he's not hearing me. He's bigger than I am.
So, what happens is that when you become angry, you reinforce these particular this idea that I absolutely need to have this. And when you feel you absolutely need to have something, that's what we call attachment. Attachment is the feeling that something is indispensable for our well-being. I can't live without it. Woman becomes attached to her husband. Husband attached to the wife. Husband and wife become attached to the children. We become attached to our jobs, attached to our homes, attached to our businesses, attached to our friends, attached to our relatives. We come to the illusory idea that I cannot live happily without them. This is attachment. A devotee, of course, strives to become detached, which doesn't mean that he ignores all of these things. It means he learns to engage them in the service of Krishna and learns to regard them from a Krishna conscious mentality, which I'll come back to. The next form of ignorance or type of ignorance is the idea that death ends everything, which it doesn't. You keep getting a body and another body and another body. So these five kinds of ignorance, the idea that death ends everything, what does that mean? It means if I know that I'm going to die someday, of course people like to think they're never going to die, that's the general consciousness, but if I know that I'm going to die at some time, I'm going to try to stuff into my five senses, my mind and my intelligence, as much pleasure as I possibly can in the shortest amount of time. This is what we strive for in order to get so much pleasure. And that's what causes people anger when they can't get it or when they're frustrated in their in trying to obtain it. So these five forms of ignorance, they create problems. Now, the reason a person wants pleasure, physical, mental, and intellectual pleasure, is because originally, when I say originally, when we were in the spiritual world, or even in this world, if you're in transcendental consciousness, you're always joyful. The nature of the soul is to be joyful, to be peaceful, to be knowledgeable, to be free. This is the nature of the soul. But because the soul has entered into this world, it is now surrounded by this covering of ignorance, which I mentioned, which spawns all kinds and sorts of illusions. Person sees his favorite movie star smoking. It must be good because I admire him. I glorify him. I worship him. So I'm going to smoke. So he smokes for 10 years and he gets tuberculosis. He gets cancer of the lungs. Well, maybe he wasn't so good after all. You see, illusions come from ignorance. The ignorance is that, yes, this movie star is special. He's great. By just worshiping him, I will somehow improve my life because I identify with his success and I'm just a mere nothing. So I become somebody or something by that identification. Consequently, what happens is that the person in identifying himself with such, he has his illusion literally destroys him. And it all comes from ignorance. So, in our original condition, we are joyful, happy, peaceful. So, the purpose of Krishna consciousness is very much like lighting a match. The soul contains, in a dormant form, all the bliss, all the peace, all the strength, all the freedom, all the power that we could ever want, and which generally we seek but never find because we're trying to find it in the external world, which only gives us mere glimpses in the form of temporary pleasure. It's just a glimpse. Temporary. You got it? Then you lose it. For example, you get a reward, you're happy, you got an Olympic medal, then 2 days later, nobody's talking about you. Now I've got to go back again, get another medal. And then another medal. One reward after another. I got this praise. Now I got this endorsement. I can do TV commercials. I'm getting a million. Now I can get 2 million. All right, I got two. Let me go for three. So it never, never stops. It's unlimited, unceasing. So this kind of happiness is temporary. This is momentary. But the unfortunate thing about it is that they don't know there's an alternative. And that's why we Prabhupada emphasized again and again and again, get these books out. Encourage people to not only take the books, but read the books. Inspire them to read them. Motivate them to read it. Dangle the worm in front of them. Tell them there are incredible benefits that will come to them. You have a problem, you've lost your job, read this book. It'll tell you how to get a job again. There's somebody in this book who's ready to help you. Read about him. You have to make book distribution meaningful to the person who is about to take it. Everyone has a problem. If a good distributor can find out in just about 30 seconds what that problem is, and he can appeal to the person on the basis of that problem so that he'll want the book and want to read the book. So this is absolutely essential in all forms of selling. To attract the attention, and then to interest the customer, and then to promise the customer that it will satisfy his need that he has. And in that way, he wants to listen. He wants to get the product and try it out. If you simply say, this is a good product, he's not going to buy it. But if you tell him that, it has this, it has that, it will do this, it will do that, it will save you so much time, save you so much energy. You want to save time, don't you? You want to save energy, don't you? You give them all these different reasons. Well, yeah, of course I want all that. It becomes inescapable. So what has happened, as I said, the natural bliss and peace and strength, or what we call transcendental peace, transcendental joy, transcendental strength, is lost. But the living entity somehow knows intuitively he's supposed to always be happy. He knows that. That's why he's always trying to be happy, but he never succeeds, because the more he becomes attached to anything material, it has the obverse side. The side that means he will be miserable. The more attached you become, as I was giving the example before of the halva, then when you don't have it, you become miserable. And you're running here and there. Yeah, anybody make any halva today? Go knocking on every door. Excuse me, have you made any halva today? No? Next door. Do you have any halva? So I've got to get my fix. So that's what attachment is. And the person is miserable. He's miserable. He can't live for a moment. There's no happiness. Now, in transcendental consciousness, Krishna tells us in the Bhagavad Gita, how we can re-erect Srila Prabhupada, that is his entire mission, to revive our Krishna consciousness, which implies inner joy, inner peace, inner strength, inner freedom, inner knowledge, innermost. Krishna says, one whose happiness is within, whose active and rejoices within, and whose aim is inward, is the perfect mystic. He's liberated in the Supreme Lord, and ultimately he attains the Supreme Lord. So Krishna says, innermost. Innermost means that we try to remember Krishna as often as possible. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. These two principles are the basis of all the prohibitions and injunctions of the scriptures. Everything leads up to those two principles. Never forget Krishna, always remember Krishna. So, it is very much like reigniting the soul, or bringing out the bliss and peace and strength of the soul. Is very much like striking a match. As we all know, a match has a little head on it. And if you strike it against the rock, the inherent light that is in the match, it comes up. Similarly, when we associate with Krishna, when the soul associates with Krishna, the inherent bliss within the soul is awakened. Just like when you strike the match, when you strike the mind against Krishna in the form of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. When we strike the mind against the holy name, we are associating with Krishna. Just like the match, when it hits the stone, it associates with the stone and out comes the light. Similarly, as we associate with Krishna through the chanting of the holy name, through worshipping the Lord, through practical service to the Lord, through surrender to the Lord, surrendering a body of mind and words to the Lord, through these different processes, as I said, hearing and chanting and remembering, serving His lotus feet, worshipping, praying, all these put us in touch with Krishna. And the soul is struck, so to speak, with Krishna, and the light starts to come out. And what happens, not only does the light begin to come out, but the covering of ignorance is burned simultaneously. Little by little by little, the ignorance that is surrounding it, which is preventing it from knowing who I am, why I'm here, what is the purpose of life, that ignorance which makes us think I'm this body, it gradually is burned away. And because it's the soul is associating with Krishna and the covering is being slowly burned away. All reactions to material activities, as it's mentioned in this verse, are being burned away. The karmic reactions. So what is left when the whole covering is burned away? Well, there's no longer any false ego there. There's no longer the five forms of ignorance are gone. We no longer think we're the body. We no longer think that we no longer forget that we have a true home in the spiritual world. We no longer forget that God is within us. God is everywhere. We no longer become angry when we don't get something material. Anger has a good purpose. We should be angry when we forget Krishna. That's a good purpose. I forgot Krishna for 5 minutes. What a fool. What an idiot. What a rascal I am. You see, when we forget Krishna, that's a good time to be angry. But when we forget, forget who we are, what our real being is, this is not good. Also, we begin to realize that death does not end everything. Rather, we live forever, and that we're going to become entangled and dangled and strangled life after life. It will not end. So we have to, and mangled also. That's part of karmic reactions. You get mangled in the course. So as a result, one then doesn't try to stuff so much sense pleasure and sense gratification into his ears and his eyes and his nose. One is not looking for praise and glory and adoration and profit and distinction. No, he now knows that what Krishna says, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. What is that reward? The reward is himself. And what is that himself? As I already said, inner joy, inner strength, inner happiness, inner peace, inner freedom. The very thing that everyone is searching for and never finding. Because it's all within. Krishna says, surrender unto him utterly. For by his grace... anybody remember that? For by his grace you will see that all living beings are but part... No, got two verses mixed up. Sorry. Surrender unto him utterly, Krishna says. Him meaning the Supreme Lord. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances. Worship me. Thus completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me, he says. And he tells Arjuna on the chariot, therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna. And at the same time, perform your prescribed duty of fighting with your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me. You will come to me without a doubt. But don't forget me. Fight for me. Do thou fight for the sake of fighting without considering happiness and distress, loss or gain, victory or defeat. And by so doing, you will never commit sin. That was his big problem at the beginning. I'm going to commit sin. I'm going to kill all of these relatives. And women, they're going to become husbandless, and they're going to go out in the street and looking for men. He says, forget about sin. You fight for me. And if you fight for me, you will be absolved. There is no sin when you engage all of your mind and your thought and feelings for me. So therefore, we have to try to revive this transcendental happiness, transcendental strength, that transcendental peace, which is within us. We are not to go outside for it. It is all within. And all we have to do is do the practices. But the practices should be done with appreciation. Appreciation of the Lord, that He has given us such a blessing. Glorification of the Lord, that He is so great, so wonderful, so magnanimous, that in spite of so many sins we have committed, still He is there for us, trying to help us, giving us mercy. As in the form of Srila Prabhupada and his wonderful books, all these have given us hope. And in the whole world, they have no idea that there is an alternative to external happiness, that there is an internal, and that's the real happiness, because it's forever. It's always there. It goes up higher at times. It comes down a little, but it's forever there. And that is the true goal of life. And we have so many wonderful examples. So the goal, of course, is to control the mind, control the senses, control the intelligence, and fix them at the lotus feet of Krishna, and serve Him forever and ever. And by so doing, we will resume our original position of Krishna consciousness. And in Krishna consciousness, the only thing that you can live for when you are fully Krishna conscious, as Srila Prabhupada demonstrated, is you want to give it out. You want to share it. You want to enable everyone to have it, because you know how much they are suffering, since you can compare your own past suffering to your present happiness. And in that comparison, you realize how terrible their life is, and what can we do to relieve it, since we feel that sympathy, we feel even the empathy of what they're going through. So that inspires and drives and helps a devotee. So let us all focus our attention on Krishna. When we serve, let us remember Krishna. When we serve, let us feel love for Krishna. And when we feel love for Krishna, let us try to do the very best we can to make the greatest, the most beautiful, the most significant offering that we can ever make today over what we've even done yesterday. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada Ki. Are there any questions or comments that anybody would like to make? Any questions? No questions? Let me off easy today. Okay, if that's it, that's it. Thank you so much. All glories to Prabhupada Ki.